Welcome to Conversations. I'm your host, Doug Duin, and joining me again for the third or fourth time is Jonna Long from the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. Jonna, thanks for taking some time to have this conversation with me again today.
Thanks so much for having me again. I'm excited to be on again.
Yeah, well, I've had the privilege of working with you guys now for a few years, and so it's always great to have you on and talk about the work that you guys are doing. So that being said, for those who are unfamiliar, what is the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention? Kind of like a broad strokes view of what you guys are.
Yeah, so American Foundation for Suicide Prevention is a not-for-profit. We are a national organization, and we really focus on suicide prevention by supporting advocacy, research, supporting those who have lost loved ones to suicide, and really educating people about suicide risks, warning factors, you know, all those sorts of things to make sure that people are prepared for anything that they may need to be prepared for involving suicide.
Yeah. And on top of that, you guys also advocate for programs that can help person, especially during a crisis. One of those being 988, which has now been around for a couple of years. Can you talk to me a little bit about what life post the implementation of 988 has been like? How has it been going? And kind of anecdotally, if you have any stories of making a difference?
Yeah. So just to give some background on that, when I mentioned advocacy, that's really 988 is a result of our advocacy work. It was a result of sending our people out into the field and pushing for 988 to be passed. And essentially what 988 is it's a hotline that supports people that are going through a mental health crisis. So historically, people would reach out to 911, which is still a great resource. But the one thing that we saw is there weren't always people that are trained in the mental health field to be answering. So 988 is now a new suicide and crisis lifeline that people can call in when they're having a mental health crisis or having a family member that are having a mental health crisis. And when you get a hold of someone, there are always mental health professionals on that other line. So 988 is implemented, and it is in all 50 states, and it is open 24/7. You can always have access. So what that looks like now is we're continuing to really work on improving the 988 resources. So some of the things that we're working on right now include providing additional support when someone calls 988. So if you are having a mental health crisis, you call 988 and someone walks you through, you know, the net process and make sure that you get back on your feet or the resources you need to really work through that crisis. We're really looking at, okay, what's next? And part of what we're working towards is making sure that the additional resources and steps are available for people to have additional resources after that call has happened and after that crisis is, you know, resolved. So that's part of it. The second thing that we're really working on right now is a 988 Response Act, which ensures that if someone calls in to 988, that their wireless phone carrier routes that call or text based on the geographic location instead of a area code, just to ensure that people are getting, physically closer person if need be. Mind you, privacy is still protected in this, but just improves access to local services for those who are calling in. So, you know, that's kind of where we're at right now. We're really excited that 988 is in place. We're seeing, you know, people using it on a regular basis and having much better results with calling 988. And now we're really looking to expand the resources that are involved with 988.
Yeah, all of that's fantastic. I love the routing based on location as opposed to zip code or area code, because people have cell phones now for life. Your phone number doesn't change when you move. So or if you're on vacation, it's a really great idea and one of those things you probably don't think of when first implementing it. In conjunction with taking the burden off of police who may not have the same training as a mental health professional, there's a lot more use of crisis response teams as opposed to sending police directly to a person having a mental health episode or crisis. Can you talk to me about the effectiveness of these crisis response teams and how does that work?
So, you know, we haven't seen, or I haven't personally seen all of the results in terms of statistics. But if you, you know, a lot of what we saw before 988 was implemented was the hesitation of certain communities to call 911, because oftentimes what would happen is, you know, the first responders would come out and sometimes the situation would actually get escalated. And it's not to say that there's any fault of the first responders, but to your point, Doug, a lot of the first responders are not necessarily trained in, you know, suicide or mental health crises. So, you know, 988 really has provided people that are trained in this particular area. And what we've seen is there's, you know, results in very different ways when someone calls 988. Sometimes it's able to be resolved over a phone call and the crisis is, you know, resolved and the follow-up is, happens later. Sometimes a crisis calls for an actual team going out. But like I said, there are people that are trained specifically in this area, which has made it even more effective in both the number and volume of people that are calling in for crises, as well as the crises resolved.
Okay, so what are some of the risk factors then that people should look for, and what warning signs should we be looking for? And I mean, both for within yourself and within your loved ones.
Yeah, so there's, you know, a few factors that we really look at in terms of risk factors and warning signs. And the three different areas that we look at are health factors, historical factors, and environmental factors. So from health factors, it's, you know, underlying mental health conditions that could be depression, anxiety, substance abuse issues. Historical factors usually are, you know, if your family has a history of suicide or mental health conditions, if you have past trauma or history of childhood abuse or even have previous suicide attempts. And then environmental factors really are access to lethal means, exposure to prolonged stress or stressful life events. And really the warning signs that may come about having those increased factors are talking, which might be a person's talking about ending their life, or maybe more indirectly having no reason to live or being a burden to others. It might be their behavior. So if a person has an increased use of alcohol or drugs, or sleeping too much or too little, or acting a little bit recklessly, you know, it might be withdrawing from activities or isolating. And then, you know, changes in mood. If, are they seeming more impulsive or anxious or worried? And these things are good to be aware of, and also keep in mind that it may look different for each individual. And so I think it really comes down to knowing who's in your community, knowing your people, your family, your friends, and just being aware of, you know, do they have those factors that might have an increased risk? And then being aware of those changes that might occur if they start, you know, displaying those warning signs, to be aware of that and be there to offer the support if need be.
So if somebody starts to feel these changes or starts experiencing suicidal ideation, what would you suggest that they do?
Yeah, so first and foremost, access mental health care if possible. So making your mental health care a priority is by far one of the top things we suggest, and being proactive about those mental health, not just in the crisis, but before. So if you know that you're at higher risk, make sure that you're seeing a doctor or mental health professional and discussing those treatment options and finding out what works best for you as an individual. And then also find your social support and community connectedness, because we see that if you have positive and supportive relationships and have those community connections, it often decreases that risk and is a preventative factor against suicide. And then, you know, one of the most, you know, important things you can do for yourself is have self-care. So, you know, exercise, healthy diet, sleep, stress management. So that's, you know, in terms of you and taking care of yourself. And if you're in the crisis point, reach out to trusted family and friends, seek help from a mental health professional. Those are the big picture and big ticket items that you can do to really make sure that you're taking care of yourself and your mental health and decreasing that suicide risk.
Yeah. And I think a big issue for a lot of people right now is economic disparity. And I feel like that might be a barrier to accessing mental health professionals. Are there ways that people can go around this and get reduced cost or even free care?
Yeah, so I know that that's part of what we're working with a little bit with 988 is trying to make sure that there's more resources available in addition to getting resources in school. For finding a mental health provider, you know, always recommend to look through your insurance provider website, talk with your primary care provider. You can also go to afsp.org/find a mental health professional and look at the options there. Those, you know, looking between those options are really what we recommend at this point, and we'll continue to try to offer more resources as they become available.
That's fantastic. So on top of that, you've talked a lot about advocacy and political advocacy. Can you talk about what's next as far as what is AFSP trying to accomplish next? What's the next big goal?
Yeah, so I mean, this conversation couldn't be more timely. On June 9th, we're going to be heading towards the Capitol in Washington, D.C., and it's advocacy, our forum, our annual forum. So we have volunteers from all across the United States going there to talk to the Senate to really advocate for a few different bills that we're trying to put in place. Two of them I already mentioned are related to 988, one being making sure that those calls are routed based on your geography location instead of the area code. So that's the first part. And then the second part being that once you've really resolved the crisis, providing additional support after that. And then the third one being is it's a Mental Health Access for Students Act. And there's a couple different pieces for this policy. One, it's providing more education about 988 to students and reducing the stigma in the schools by actually publishing suicide prevention and mental health resources on school websites. So that if students need to know where to reach out for help, that information is readily available. And then another piece about that, which I'm personally very excited about, is including the 988 information on student ID cards to make it easy to know who to call in a crisis. So that's a big one that we're pushing for as well, because currently fewer than 1 in 4 Americans are actually familiar with the 988 Lifeline. So we're really trying to push to continue to get the word out on that and make sure that it's accessible for as many people as possible.
Nice. So if somebody wanted to help out, and I mean broad spectrum, political advocacy, volunteering, or even working for 988, how would they go about doing that?
Yeah, so for working with AFSP, we always love more volunteers, and we are so happy to get our community involved in that. I recommend going to afsp.org and finding your local chapter and reaching out. There's always a contact information on your local chapter's webpage, and reaching out and just, you know, giving what type of involvement you want in. And there's so many different ways that we need help. It's, you know, there's event planning, there is advocacy, there is actually going out to the community and teaching them more about suicide prevention. So we're looking for all different types of volunteers. So I recommend going to afsp.org, finding your local chapter, reaching out. We'd be so happy to have you involved.
And on top of that, there's always the financial need to make an organization like yours run. So I know, because I'm going to be there, there's a fundraiser coming up in Buren. Can you talk to me about that and any other events that are coming up?
Yes. So Party for Prevention is on June 27th. In Burien at Logan Brewery. We're really excited to be partying with Logan Brewing, as they are a current supporter of American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. But the event's going to be a great event. It's an annual event, and it includes a silent auction with a wide variety of amazing donated items. We might even have a special hockey stick signed by the Kraken team that will be one of our auction items. Nice. But there's food, there's drinks, and really it gives us the opportunity to come together as a community and continue to support each other and support the organization as a whole. So that, again, will be on June 27th. And you know, there's still tickets available. We'd love to see anyone there. And then beyond that, we have our Out of Darkness walks, which Doug, you've been a great supportive in the past, and we have a few of those going around in Washington State and, you know, all over the nation. But those walks are a great opportunity for the communities to come together as well and raise funds that will ultimately go to the education, the research, and the advocacy work, and come together. And there's a nice walk at each of the walks, and it's really about remembrance, supporting each other, and really just working towards the organization. And you can find those by going on afsb.org, finding your local chapter, and then each of the walks will be listed under your local chapter.
And so if somebody just wants to learn more, you just suggest go to the website, afsb.org?
Yes, so afsb.org gives us a lot of background about American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, provides a lot of really great resources. And there's a tab in there that says find a chapter, and it'll say, you know, find a local chapter, volunteer with AFSP, and you can get so much information from that website.
So before I let you go, if somebody's listening right now and they're struggling, and what would you want to say to them? What advice, what suggestions do you have?
My advice is to talk to someone, really reach out to someone that you trust and are comfortable speaking with. It's always so much better to let someone know how you're feeling. If you don't feel comfortable necessarily reaching out to someone, call 988, text 988. It's a resource that we've worked really hard to get into place for this exact reason.
Yeah. I mean, anecdotally and just personal experience, every time I've had what I felt like was a major issue in my life, just the act of talking about it for whatever reason kind of relieved like half of the stress of it.
Yeah. And, you know, we get a lot of people asking us, you know, doesn't talking about suicide kind of perpetuate the problem? And it's been proven through research that it actually does the exact opposite. The more we talk about it, the more we bring suicide as an issue to light, the more we see the rates continue to reduce. So I couldn't agree with you more. I think talking about it really is the biggest step that we can take to reduce it from a, you know, wide scale problem, as well as help personally.
Yeah. I totally agree. Jonna, thank you so much for taking the time to have this conversation with me and all the work that you do.
Yeah, absolutely. I really appreciate being here, and if, you know, happy to be a resource for anyone listening and that wants to learn more.
And thank you for listening. Conversations is a public affairs program of the station.